Lord. You know, a lot of the fellows up there had went through a lot of things with Charles, and they all talked about how that they wanted to be like him, you know. And, you know, we didn't really get a chance to tell them all, but they could be like him because he had given his life to the Lord. And it's very simple and very easy. And, you know, once you do that, you sometimes you question, Lord, why did it take so long? But a lot of times we have to go through a certain path in life before we make that decision for God. And, you know, it's just, praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here. I ask you, Lord, that these scriptures that I share today, that they would just minister to hearts and that they would just, people would just open themselves up to you today. And that, Father, in this upcoming year, there would be even more of a commitment to you and more of a commitment to your spirit and being obedient to what your word would declare for them to do. I thank you for what you're going to do here today. I give you all praise. I give you all glory. I give you all honor, for surely there's none other worthy of it than you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My first scripture today is Genesis 49:10, and this is one of the first scriptures where it began to talk about a Savior. And this was a prophecy given unto Judah. And it says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come. And unto him shall be the gathering of the people. And you know, that's always been God's purpose, is to gather mankind back into his bosom. You know, Jesus, when he came, he stood one time over Jerusalem, and he knew that they were not going to receive him, a lot of the people there. And he said, he wept and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you as a mother hen does gather her brood, and you would not. He said to them, henceforth your house is left desolate, until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And you know who it is that's going to come in the name of the Lord? It's you all. It's you all. You're going to come in the name of the Lord. And when they come to the realization about Christ in you, they're going to be turned around. And the ones, they're going to come to realize that he was the Messiah, the ones that don't know it already. And you know, I told you guys a story might have been a year ago or so, I don't remember, about this one of the old honored rabbis over in Jerusalem. And he was really old, and he was one of the most honored rabbis over there. And everybody just loved him and thought he was one of the wisest men, you know, there was. And he had an encounter with God, and God told him the name of the Messiah. And he told his son who it was, and he told him not to publish it until after he had been dead for so long. And then they talked to his son, and his son came out and told him his name was Yahshua, it was Jesus. And, you know, some people received it and some people didn't. But some of the rabbis said, oh, maybe you misunderstood. So he had written it on a piece of paper and told his son not to open it until he had passed away. And, you know, a lot of them tried to say, well, maybe it meant something else. Maybe it meant this. Maybe it meant that. And, you know, that's the way the natural mind works. It tries to reason away the things of God, you know. But I want you to know that his whole purpose is just like it says here in Genesis, was, and he shall, and unto him shall be the gathering of the people. He wants to gather mankind into his bosom. He wants, scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, a lot of times people look at God as, that like he's going to be a harsh, judgmental God. And I got news for you. Jesus showed them what God was like because he was God incarnate in the flesh. When the woman caught in the act of adultery was brought before him, and by the law, I mean, the law said they should stone her to death, you know, by the law. And what did he do? He just bent down and started writing in the sand. And after a few minutes, and we don't know what he wrote, and there's been a lot of speculation of that, and I'm not even going to try to guess what he wrote. But I'm going to tell you this. He said, he among you that's without sin, cast the first stone. And guess what? From the eldest to the youngest, they all left. And he looked at her and he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man accused you? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And you know what? I'm telling you what, folks. He's a loving, forgiving, merciful God. And that's who he is. That's who Jesus is. You know, in Isaiah 7:14, there it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. And you know, the neat thing about it is that was in the Old Testament. It was God with us, amongst us, you know. But I got news for you. In the New Testament, he brought a greater revelation. And that greater revelation was Christ in you, the hope of glory, when you become born again. You become a new creation man. You become a son of God. Scripture says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And you are a son of God. And I tell you what, you're going to have to extend the same mercy and the same love to the people that you come in contact with that he did. Now, you can't do that in your own strength sometimes, and you can't do that with your own thinking a lot of times. It takes the mind of Christ functioning in you to do that. And you know, he's the one that has to change even the way that you look at things. You can't change yourself a lot of times. And you know, in Isaiah 6 through 7, says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there shall be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon all his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God's going to perform it. You don't have to perform it. This our relationship with God is not a performance-based relationship, although he wants you to be obedient and do what he tells you to do. But if you get into too much performance, then you get back into the law. And under the law, no one is going to be justified. You're only going to be justified by the grace of God and by his mercy and what Christ did on Calvary. And there ain't a one of us that deserves anything that he's given us. But it isn't about deserving or not deserving. It's about his love given to you. Praise God. Isaiah 12:1-6 says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. And you know, at one time or another, God's been a little bit angry with us all. I mean, you know, I some people laugh when I tell them, Margaret used to say to the little kids that she'd watch, she'd tell them, I don't like you very much right now. She'd say, but I love you. She'd tell them, I love you. And you know, God sometimes gets a little angry with us when we're not doing what he tells us to do. But I'm going to tell you what. It says, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me. Thy anger is turned away. And I got news for you. In Jesus Christ, the anger was turned away. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Aren't you so glad he said that? Half of the times before you came to know the Lord, you didn't know what you was doing. You didn't know him. You didn't know what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing half the time. But I tell you what, He extended his love and his mercy to you in spite of all that. Praise God. It says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song, and he also is become my salvation. And we know who the salvation was. It was in Jesus Christ. Even the name, when he appeared unto Mary and them, he said, name him Jesus. And the name Jesus means Savior. That's what it means. Praise God. And he says, therefore, you shall draw ye out of the with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, and make mention of his name that is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. And you know what? He's a mighty God, just like what's been said here today. He's a mighty God. He's a forgiving God. And when he looks at you, he looks at you with the eyes of forgiveness, of mercy, and of his grace. In Matthew 1, 18 through 25, I like this out of the message. This is good. It says, the birth of Jesus took place like this. Let's tell you pretty bluntly. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph before they came to the marriage bed. Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. And he didn't. And Joseph chagrined, but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. Joseph must have been an awfully loving man, awful good man in that sense, you know. Because back in that day, buddy, they drug you out into the street and you were stoned to death over something like that, you know. And it's while he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God, an angel spoke in a dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married to Mary. Mary's pregnancy is of the Spirit, conceived by God. The Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, which means God saves. Because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin shall get pregnant and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, in Hebrew, for God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary. But he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. John 3:3-7. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. You know, a lot of people don't even understand what being born again is. Born again, you know, means that you were birthed into a new life. You know, I've heard people say over the years that there's two men in the earth, and those two men are Adam and Christ. He was the new creation man. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's word, let us make man in our own image and our own likeness and let him have dominion. He was the fulfillment of that. Hebrews tells you in the Amplified Bible that he was the light being, the outraying of the divine. He was man standing fully in the image and likeness of God. And you know, when we received Jesus Christ, we received the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It came in us just the same as that seed came into Mary, into her womb, and it became a little baby, And he's not a little baby anymore, you know. He became a life-giving spirit, you know, when he died. That's right. He became that life-giving spirit. And guess what? That life-giving spirit dwells in you. And a lot of people say, well, what about the people out there that don't know him? It tells you that he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Every man. And it tells you that they love darkness and they didn't come to the light. Well, I got news for you. Some of them have not been told about the light that's inside of them. Guess what your job is? To tell them. To begin to tell them. To begin to show them. To begin to let your light so shine that men would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, in the heavenly realms, you know. And, you know, I love that song that we teach little kids in when they're real little. And we used to have a lot of little kids around here. We don't have too many anymore. But they'd sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine," you know. And you know what? There's nothing as joyous as watching a little kid sing those songs. I mean, it just thrills your heart. And you watch them do things and even watch what they do in the natural. He said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter the kingdom. You know, and watch what they do. You'll see two of them together, and I bet Kirby's probably witnessed this many a times. One of them will whack the other one upside the head or something because they got their toy. 2 minutes later, they're playing and having fun like nothing ever happened. And boy, except we become as a little child, we begin to forgive and forget the hurts and the things that people do and the things that they've done in the past. We need to become like them little children, you know. We need to be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And, you know, when we're born again of that seed, you know, a lot of people say, well, bless God, the judgment day's coming, and it's going to be a terrible thing to fall in the hands of God. I can tell you, Scripture says, know ye not that the saints will judge the world. You know who the saints are? It's you. Will judge the world. And it tells you that not only will you judge the world, you're going to judge angels. You're going to judge the ministering spirits that he sent forth. And you know, in Hebrews, it tells you that the angels had to be told to worship Jesus because they had never seen the fullness of God in a man before. They had never seen that before. You mean when Adam was born, they didn't see it? According to what the Word says, they didn't. But I'm going to tell you what, as in Adam all die, so in Christ, Scripture says, so how many? All be made alive? How many's all? That's all. And I'm going to tell you what, when we judge the world, we're going to have to judge it with such mercy and forgiveness. Remember the parables that Jesus told about the certain man that he owed his master a little bit of something? And I think in our money today, it'd be a few bucks. And he went to the master, and the master said, well, I forgive you. And then what did that man go out and do? Somebody that owed him something, he wanted to drag him to the tormentors and torment them and all this and that. And then what happened to him? The judgment fell upon him. You know, Jesus' judgment, if you watch and see what he did when he walked this earth, the people he judged was the religious folks. You can't show me one place where he showed harsh judgment to what we call a sinner. He did not. He went down amongst them. Why? Because he was going to show them the love of God. And guess what? After they come in contact with him, they weren't sinners no more. You know, they talk about Mary Magdalene. They talk about, and I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of different ideals on her. About her being the one that sat at Jesus' feet and wept. And I'm going to tell you, you can't come into the presence of the Lord without it touching your heart. Without, you know, people say, well, bless God. Oscar, sometimes you get emotional and cry. You're right, I do. Because when I'm in the presence of the Lord, it makes me feel emotional. I know the mercy he's shown me, the love he's shown me. And he's not only me, but the world out there. I understand that. And boy, she sat there and she washed his feet with her tears. and the hairs of her head. And Scripture tells you, and I know this to be a fact, that a woman's glory is her hair. How many of y'all went to the beauty shop this week? You don't have to raise your hand. Or in the past month or the past year, a lot of times, you know, hey, why? You go there because they fix your hair, and your hair is your glory. And you know what? She was willing to take her glory and to wash his feet with her glory. Let me tell you what. He said, the glory that you've given me, Father, I've given it unto them. And what did Jesus do at the Last Supper? He laid aside his garments, and it says he took a towel. And that towel is actually a word that means he took a linen. And he clothed himself in linen. And then he took a basin and he started to wash each one of the disciples' feet. And in that day, if you walked through the streets in that day, the animals did their business in the street. People, when they did something at home, a lot of times they threw it out into the street because there wasn't toilets and things like we think today. And I'm going to tell you what. The first thing you were supposed to do when somebody came into your house was to wash their feet. And you did it partially because you were being kind, but you did it also because you didn't want to smell that stink and everything else that was on them. And you didn't want them tracking it all through your house. Well, let me tell you what. Jesus did that to his disciples. And when he did that, he was clothing himself because he was drying. And half the time when you wash somebody with water, you don't get everything off. But he was drying them with that linen garment that he was clothed in. And when he dried their feet, what he was doing was taking the filth of them upon himself. That's why when he got down to Peter, Peter said, Lord, he knew he was. He knew he was the Christ because he'd already said that before. And he said, Lord, he said, you'll never wash my feet. And he wasn't being rebellious. He was thinking, I don't want to add to the filth that's already been put on him. I know who he is. He's the Son of the living God. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. I don't want to add to that. But Jesus told him, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. What's the feet significant of your walk? He washes your walk. You don't wash your walk. He washes it. And then you know what you do? You go out and begin to wash the walk of the people that you come in contact with. I'm going to tell you what, when you see somebody that's the meanest, snakiest person you know what you're supposed to do? If you go what it says in Galatians, it said, brethren, when you see a man overtaken in a fault, doesn't say a brother or a sister, which I used to quote that like that when I was a young Christian. Well, when you see a brother or sister's taken a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one. And you know, a lot of times the Christians won't even restore another Christian. They'll point a finger at them and kick them out of the church because they made a mistake or did something bad. Or they'll take their ministry away from them or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, he didn't say when you see a brother or sister. He said when you see a man overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And why did he say consider yourself? Because you know what? You were a sinner too at one time. And Scripture says that if you failed in one point of the law, guess what? You were guilty of it all. You mean if you lied, you were just as guilty as the man who murdered? Yes, you were. Under the law, you were, according to what it says there. But thank God that he took the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He nailed them to the tree. He crucified them with him. It's not what we do now. Not that it's not important what we do, because it is important. But it's not what we do now that causes that hinges on our salvation. It's what he did. And he did it. I love that song that we used to sing, he paid it all so that we might live. You know. And you know, he gave me a song to that one time, and it goes, he paid it all, what more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known when he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that you might live. It becomes personal when it becomes you. He paid it all. And this life is yours today if you'll trust Him and obey. He paid it all so that you might live. And you know what? He did pay it all. And we're not only celebrating Christ today, we're not necessarily celebrating His birthday because we don't even know when He was born exactly. We're just celebrating Christ in general. We love Him. Actually, we celebrate Him every Sunday. But today we're going to celebrate Him a little bit more, see? Because this is a traditional time when people like to call it the birth of Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, the real Christmas day for you was the day He came into your heart. That was that birth that came into your heart. And you became a new creation man. And I'm going to tell you what, as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, you're going to come to a place where you grow up into Him. And 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And in 1 John 3:1-2, and I love this scripture, this is one of my favorite scriptures. And this is out of J.B. Phillips' New Testament. Consider the incredible love that the Father has shown in allowing us to be called children of God. This is not just what we are called, but it's what we are. Our heredity on the Godward side is no mere figure of speech, which explains why the world will no longer recognize us than it recognized Christ. Oh, dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized it? Here and now, we are God's children. We don't know what we shall become in the future, and we don't know the fullness of what God's going to make us out to be. We don't know it all, but He's starting to reveal it by His Spirit. We don't know what we shall come in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect His likeness, for we should see Him as He really is. And I'm going to tell you what, He became a member, a many-membered body. That's why you're called the body of Christ. Each member supplies, each joint supplies. Like I told you a couple weeks ago in a sermon, when it talks about the temple, guess what? You're the temple. When it talks about Mount Zion, guess what? You're Mount Zion. When it talks about the lively stones built together for habitation of God through the Spirit, guess what? You're the stones. When it talks about all those different things, the shepherd, guess what? You're all shepherds. You know, when it talks about all the things in Scripture, it's a love letter to you. And man, when you read between, and you know, Margaret and I, over the years, we have, and everybody that's been married very long has this, I would say things to her, and I could say it right in front of you, and you wouldn't have a foggiest idea what I was saying. And she could say things to me, and you wouldn't know what we were saying, but we were talking love talk. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the way the Scripture is. It's love talk. It's love talk to you. But you have to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the love talk to you. And I'm going to tell you what, when He starts revealing that love talk to you, whoo, it is so good. And it makes you so excited at times. And it makes you cry at times, and it makes you a lot of different things, joyous, cry, a little bit of everything. But I'm going to tell you what, He loves you with an everlasting love, and God so loved the world. You mean it doesn't say just the Christians? It doesn't say that. It says the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm going to tell you what, if He forgave Mary Magdalene when she came before Him, and who did He actually let do the judging? Do you remember? Those around. He said, He among you without sin cast the first stone. So who actually judged Mary? I mean, the woman taking the act of adultery, and I believe it was probably Mary Magdalene. The people did. But how did they judge her? They judged her because they realized that they were sinners also. And they went away from the oldest to the youngest. And then Jesus looked at her and says, has no man judged you or condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. And you know what? He's going to use you in that same way where you're going to begin to forgive those sins. You know, the Catholic Church had one thing right in the sense that when they used to have confession, and I don't care what you did, And I don't say that their formula was right, but I'll say what they did was right in one sense. I don't care what you did. You could have done the most awful murder in the world and went to confession and went into the priest and he'd have given you absolution. And anybody that was a Catholic, you know that no matter what you said to the priest, he'd give you some Hail Marys or some things to do or whatever to do, and you'd walk out of there and you was forgiven. Well, I got news for you. Christian folks, you don't even have to give him a Hail Mary. All you have to say is, God forgave you on Calvary. You've been forgiven. It's already done. You know. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to share this poem with you, and that's because we talked about this a little bit in one of our songs, and I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again, and it's called The Gift. And this was one of the first poems the Lord ever gave me, and it goes like this. Rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. Not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. For the sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death unto that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony. And you might say, well, Brother Oscar, I know some people ain't got no faith. Not according to what God's word declares. Every man was dealt a measure of faith. And you know what he'll do with you sometimes? He'll cause you to be the one that pours a little bit of water on that seed of faith in that person, if you'll be obedient to what he tells you to do. And maybe it'll be somebody that hears this message today out there on the internet or whatever, that thought they were the terriblest sinner there ever was. But I want you to know, he forgave you. You're forgiven. He's not mad at you. I tell people that when we go down to the radio station, I try to say that almost every time we go down there. Sometimes I miss saying it, but almost every time I'll try to say before we get off the radio station when we go down there and do that on Wednesdays, I'll say, God's not mad at you. And he's not. He might be a little disappointed in you once in a while, but he's not mad at you. He loves you. Praise God. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody like prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you. And I want you to know that, you know, a lot of people don't want to celebrate Christmas, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with celebrating it or not celebrating it, whatever you feel like you're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you what, I think every day is a celebration in Him. Every day. For the great gift that He gave us of Jesus Christ, the greatest gift you'll ever receive is what He did on Calvary for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you to bless your people. And as they go forth from here today, let them have wonderful times with their family. Any things that have been in division or anything like that in the family, Lord, let your peace settle in on every situation. You know, when you appeared unto the shepherds out in the field, you said, I bring you great tidings of great joy, for unto you is born. And he said, and talked about peace and goodwill to all men. And you know, peace and goodwill to all men, not to few, but to all men. That's what God wants. He wants his peace to begin to move and flow through the earth. And it's going to do that when we become the messenger of peace out there and begin to do what the Lord bids us to do in each situation and circumstance. And Father, I just ask you to bless your people. And I give you all praise and all glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God.